Steve Jones, Dick Girardi. Later we'll have Fran Fischer, our final segment with Dick. We've talked about virtually every city team, but the one that Patrick Chambers wants to talk to us about all the time and Keith Urgo wants to talk to us about all the time, and that is Villanova. Nova struggled.
Yeah, they have, Steve. I mean, they've been the flagship. They've been in the tournament every year since 2005. They're not going to make it this year, barring some late run that nobody really perceives at the moment. But, yeah, Final Four 2009, Final Eight 2006, several Sweet 16s. I mean, they've had a heck of a run. But what happened to them was they missed a class, so they don't have any seniors. The junior class, other than Malik Wayne, just hasn't been as good as they had hoped. The younger guys aren't quite ready yet. So the reality is that they're not, as much as some of their fans would wish it to be true, they're not Kentucky or Duke. They're not going to be able to do it year after year after year. But, boy, they've had a heck of a run. Yeah, this is a down year. They were actually fortunate to win any Big Five games. They got LaSalle early without Ramon Galloway, and they were fortunate to beat Penn, and they got whacked by Temple and St. Joe's. So, yeah, just a down year for the Wildcats. So, Keith and Patrick Chambers are guys I know love Villanova. Of course, Pat was the top assistant on that Final Four team. He's been there for years. They get it. They know it's cyclical. And this just is not the year of the Wildcat.
But it could be the year of the Orange. You watch Syracuse play. They had the stumble at Notre Dame. But when you watch them, what do you like about their flow at both ends of the floor?
Yeah, a couple things, Steve. I like the fact that they're unique. They play that zone, and they have the right players this year to play it, where there have been some years where they did, some years where they didn't. I thought it was unfortunate 2 years ago when they absolutely had the right players, and their big guy got hurt right before the tournament, messed everything up. But, yeah, Melo's not back. So, yeah, when you're bringing Deion Waiters off the bench, I mean, that tells you how good you are. Nobody is faster in the country from defense to offense. I mean, when they get a missed shot or a block out of that zone, they go. And it's really one of the things people don't think about. One of the best parts about playing a zone is that the two players that are out in front of it, they played old-fashioned 2-3. They're already in perfect position to be on the wings and on a fast break, right? I mean, they're already set up for that.
Yeah, they are set to run off the bat because that's where they're supposed to be.
Yep. Yep, that's why their fast break is so effective. Because with other teams, maybe their guard would be back trying to get a rebound. It's harder to get numbers down the court. When you're playing that zone, your guys are ready to roll. And that's one of the hidden things about Syracuse. Obviously, they have a Hall of Fame coach. He's won a title. He's been in the, I'm not big on this, but it's interesting that they were in the championship game in the Superdome. They wanted the Superdome on the Final Four this year. Obviously, it's back in New Orleans, so... We'll see if that's a good deal for Syracuse. But, yeah, they're legit. They are clearly the best team in the Big East. I'm not sure who's second best, but they're clearly the best team.
Well, they're long.
They have a shot.
Yeah, they're long on the back line. That's one of the keys there is that they're long on the back line, and the two at the front, you talk about being available to get into a fast break, but they're also quick covering the wings in that zone.
Yeah, they really are. I mean, they're so well-schooled, and I think there's something when you play that's your defense. That's your base defense. You don't really have to spend a lot of time thinking about the opponents. It's just, look, here's what we do. You figure out how to beat us. And I think that's a huge advantage, especially in a tournament setting where you have a quick turnaround. Well, look, they're going to do what they've been practicing since the middle of October. So I think that's a huge edge for them. So, yeah, I they're certainly one of the teams who, you said, give me a team that you really feel pretty comfortable is going to make a big run. They are absolutely one of them.
In fact, you know, you go back as far back as Magic Johnson. That's what Michigan State played. Michigan State played a 2-3 zone as championship year. People forget that. And they were comfortable the entire time and made everyone uncomfortable because, number one, you aren't used to it. But, number two, they're so comfortable in it that they make you uncomfortable trying to play it.
Yeah, almost nobody plays zone in college basketball anymore. I mean, you see it occasionally as a changeup. It just doesn't happen very much. Now, John Chaney obviously made a career out of it at Temple, but he recruited the long-arm, taller guys, the big wing players, Eddie Jones, Aaron McKee. I mean, you know all the names, Steve. You saw them in the Atlantic Ten back in the day. So, that to me is the kind. Those are the kinds of players you need. And that's what Boeheim has done up at Syracuse. He said, this is what we're going to play. I want these kind of players, and that's what he's got.
In the Big 12, Missouri and Baylor have been the two teams. Well, actually, well, let's throw in Kansas. They've really been the three schools in that conference that have taken turns now going at each other. What makes each a solid team that can make a decent run if they get the right matchups?
Yeah, Missouri, I would like the best of the three. Now, they actually play Kansas tomorrow at Missouri, and I feel kind of bad. Steve, I guess that's going to be the last one of them because Missouri's going to the SEC. I still can't deal with Missouri playing at South Carolina. It just doesn't add up. But
yeah, that's a rivalry that everyone's been clamoring for.
Yeah, we got to deal with it. Missouri is I think Adrian Branch might have made the point on the broadcast last night, or somebody did. They're a slightly bigger and maybe a touch better version of Murray State, just happened to be at a higher level. They play really small, four guards and a big guy that gets rapid to leave the country, field goal percent, shooting like 80%. And it's interesting, Frank Haith, who you know well, he was at Penn State. Everybody said, well, what's he doing getting that job? He was at Miami and he's just done okay. Well, nobody could win at Miami. I mean, who's ever won down there? He's done a great job. He's played for Coach of the Year. They play fast. They're fun to watch. They shoot threes. They definitely play the modern game correctly. And they guard way better than Baylor does. Baylor, I think their Achilles heel is going to be when they're playing really good offensive teams. I'm not sure they can guard well enough.
That's the problem from them. That will be a problem. Yep. When they get in there with somebody who actually has a flow to it and can hit some shots, Baylor will struggle at some point.
I think they're good. I don't think they're quite as good overall as that team that played Duke to go to the Final Four in 2010.
Right.
Probably should have won that game. They had a ridiculous offensive foul call at the end, or probably should have won that game. I don't think they're quite that good. I think they're good. Kansas is interesting. They really only have two players that can score, Robinson and Taylor. They've lost so much. I think they're doing it with mirrors a little bit. I could see them out early. If they get the wrong matchup at the tournament, I just don't think they're up to recent standards of Kansas teams. And I think they could have a game where they just shoot like, what, 2-for-20 from three or something, and they could be out. They would scare me a little bit as a long-term proposition of the tournament.
There are a couple of other schools. We talked about Murray State early. UNLV and Creighton are a couple of schools that are very interesting, have had nice years, and know what they can and cannot do.
Yeah, UNLV is – I've seen them. Boy, are they beautifully coached. Dave Rice, who played there years ago, was coaching them. He played one of the Reggie Theus teams. And, they're tough. And that Mount West is good. I think San Diego State, of course, is a very good team in that league. So they're good. They have all these transfers from UCLA. Hell, if UCLA has all those players, they'd be actually pretty good. They're good at all. So I think they're dangerous. They're a team that could win, I think, three games in the tournament if everything breaks right. And Creighton, of course, has Doug McDermott, the coach's son, who, if the player of the year voting were done today, he'd be among the top five for sure.
Right, he had a 44-pointer early, and he's been scoring at a great rate all season.
Yeah, and he's so efficient, Steve. He can play on the block, and he's a great three-point shooter. He's only a sophomore. He actually played on the same high school team as Harrison Barnes in Iowa City. You think they were pretty good?
I think they may have made a decent run.
Yeah, I don't think they lose a game for several years. But yeah, he's terrific. He played at St. Joe's early. That's actually one of the only two games they've lost. Offensively, they're on a par with any of the top 10 teams. Now, I would say their problem in a tournament setting might be, are they going to be able to slow really good teams down? But they might be good enough to outscore a lot of teams. And they're beautifully coached. Greg McDermott, Doug's dad, used to be he was at Northern Iowa. In fact, he was the coach who was on that Northern Iowa team that beat Kansas, yes? Am I getting that right?
Right.
Do I remember that correctly?
Yep. Shot from the wing.
Yeah. My man, Farouk Manesh.
Yes.
Everybody's yelling at him, don't shoot. I'm screaming, shoot. And he makes like 30 on the shot clock. Everybody's going crazy. That's not how you play. I'm thinking, you'll never get a better shot in your life.
You take the best shot you have.
Yeah. I mean, you put game pressure on Kansas, you got them down four, and all of a sudden they're freaked out.
Another team that, in my opinion, is beautifully coached is Virginia. I think Tony Bennett has done a nice job of blending the talent there, and they've become a good ACC team.
Yeah, they really have, and they're doing it the way he did it at Washington State. Not many possessions, great defense, giving yourself a chance at the end. Really good game tomorrow. Now, you might not like it if you like offense. Virginia's playing Florida State tomorrow. That's going to be a hard game for anybody to score in. But that will be that probably give you a pretty good indication if one of those is really going to make a run at the ACC. Now, North Carolina's obviously the favorite. Duke's right behind. But these teams, Virginia, again, Tony's gotten it done. Mike Scott, of course, is a star player. We saw him a couple of years down there. And,
yes, we did. Yep.
They're good. Yeah, I mean, they're not a fluke. You can't do it as long as they've done it to be a fluke.
Right, and Mike Scott's a good player for them. But one of the hallmarks for Tony's teams when he happened to be at Washington State is he started to get really good, dependable guard play. He now has good, dependable guard play at Virginia.
Yeah, he does. And I think that, look, it's one of the nicest arenas in the country. That place was awesome.
Yeah, I was taken aback by how nice John Paul Jones Arena is.
Yeah, and obviously a great school, a great academic school, great tradition of basketball excellence. So I don't see any reason why he can't make that go. He was an interesting hire at the time. You're thinking Washington State to Virginia, Midwest guy. Does this really make sense? Looks like they made the right call.
Yeah, looks like they made the right call indeed. Big East, Marquette, Georgetown. Georgetown, to its credit, has picked up. I feel like they've gone under the radar for a while here, maybe because of the way they started. But they have, well, I think they're, 16-4, 17-4 now. They've played well.
Yeah, they have. And they lost a lot from a team that kind of underachieved last year. So I don't think the expectations weren't real high for Jeff Thompson's team, but yeah, they're in. I would say Georgetown and Marquette. If you're saying, "All right, who's the next? What's the next echelon of the Big Ten?" That's them at this moment. No real separation, and they're a little bit like Marquette. Marquette scores a little better. Georgetown plays a little better defense, but yeah, they're good. Not to the level of the Jeff Green team that played in the Ohio State the Final Four, but certainly legit.
What's interesting is I find that everyone talks about, you know, what happens final 12 games coming down the stretch. The style of basketball that you see in February is different than the style of basketball you see in March, because the familiarity in February among opponents is grinding scores down, and games are shortened by possessions. In the tournament, there are spots open in the tournament that haven't been open for 2 months.
Yeah, that's what's so much fun about the tournament, and it's why the coaches finally get a chance to breathe. It's why Penn State won the NIT in 2009. They were able to get out of the Big Ten and able to run up and down the court a little bit, and why they were so effective in the NCAA last year against Temple. They didn't win the game, and they certainly played well enough to win, but yeah, you get out, and it's not just any team in one of these big conferences. You just need to get away from all the coaches that know every play, every set, every defense you're going to run, and see somebody who's got 3 days to think about it.
Well, I guess we go back to work again. So we'll just go out and do what it is, whatever it is we do. And we don't even know what we do.
Yeah, we're still trying to figure that out, Steve. One of these years we'll actually figure that out. But it sounds like you got a terrific show going. No surprise there. And all the best with it. And we shall talk here soon.
We shall talk soon. Thanks, my friend.
All right, Steve.
All right, Dick Girardi, my broadcast partner for Penn State basketball, the premier analyst in college basketball today. And we'll come back with Fran Fisher.